welcome to Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Murray alongside will take you to three, handed off to our good buddy Phil Benanti's fine show behind the bench. Shortened today because the Giants back on the road. And to be honest with you, it can't be any worse than it was at home. Losing all six at home, and it changed, obviously, Buster Posey's approach to the trading deadline. And now the Giants go on the road and play the same two teams that bageled them six straight at home, starting with three in New York and then three in Pittsburgh. I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And when we go over the schedule a little bit later on, we will again tell you about engineering yardage, the great fundraiser Ed's business has for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State, with the goal that has been meant beautifully the last 4 years to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. As always on a Friday, our de facto co-host Jack Zamora will be with me. I do want to mention, as we're only, I think people know now, 3 weeks and a day away from kicking off the season, when Brian Panish jumps aboard, our Mr. Top Dog himself and our great longtime friend and terrific lawyer, of course, and former Fresno State standout, by the way, way back in the 70s when I was a small child watching him play. Brian will be back with us on Fridays in a few weeks, and then Jackson will go back to his Tuesday-Thursday setup, but for the summertime, Tuesday-Friday, and we'll get to Jackson in just a couple of minutes. But first, our other lead dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you. One, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work. Really professional people. If you need them for anything, particularly your AC, make sure you give them a call, 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web for more information. Also, they do feature the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. That's how we bring up our guests and how Phil not only brings up his guest, but also the callers from the general public during his show. As far as the forecast goes, we're back to triple digits, but as painless as possible, with the forecast being 100 today, 100 tomorrow, and then we go, if things hold, 98, 93, 96, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Then it starts to get interesting a little bit next Wednesday. And again, keep in mind, there's a variance of a degree or two, depending upon North or South Valley. We're talking metro area, and also everything's subject to change. If you get a front off the coast, I know one from Alaska has cooled things off here. It can change either direction in a big hurry, heat or cooling. It's supposed to be 101 on Wednesday, then 103 Thursday of next week, 104 Friday, 103, 102 over next weekend. Not terribly onerous, but not what we have been seeing so far and did throughout July. And as we roll into August today, it still doesn't look too bad. The winds are up around 10 to 12 miles an hour. That helps cool things off. Also, the lows still in the 60s, which is welcome through Monday. And then we start seeing lows in the 70s, low 70s, beginning on Tuesday. Anyway, a good forecast, and thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. One more time, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. For anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. A couple other reminders. One, if you're headed home at 2:10 in the afternoon on a Friday, good for you. If you're looking for a late lunch, or you're looking for an early dinner, or if you're just planning for 5 o'clock, what have you, keep in mind our pals at KFC here in town in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective, to help out financially at Fresno State with NIL monies. We really appreciate this international, national, of course, local entity jumping in to help out at Fresno State. It's really needed. And they also have the great specials going on at the KFCs right now. You've got the Tuesday special that's been going on for a good long while, which is an 8-piece bucket or tenders for just $10. That's a terrific offer, but also right now for a limited time they have this $7 Phillips offer back, and that means you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or a classic famous bowl, each of those choices with the drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Also, you can top it off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. So a great meal for you at any of the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They are also right now promoting Brad Pitt's terrific movie, F1, the movie all about Formula One racing. I've said this before. Of course, I'm a big fan of auto racing and covered it for years, including covering F1 back in 1993. And what a circus that is. We talk about it. It's supposed to be the F1 circuit. If you go ahead, if you're lucky enough and you can survive it, if you follow the entirety of it, it is the F1 circus more than circuit because, of course, except for the number of times now we're back in the States 3 times, you're just basically traveling country to country throughout the summer, and it's quite something. And to have the F1 movie be as realistic as it is, a great credit to the producers and to Brad Pitt. He said it took 3 years to put this thing together, and KFC jumping aboard there to promote the movie. And again, remind you, if you stop by the KFCs and you pick up a bucket or two, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective and helping out at Fresno State. It's a real, real necessity right now to be able to help out because there are a lot of financial needs there to keep your athletic department moving forward. And it's great to have a company like KFC, the local operators, joining with Fresno State to try to solve things right now financially. And then finally, speaking of someone who's over the years been right there for Fresno State, want to acknowledge our pal Joe Cruz, his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, been a longtime sponsor, longtime personal friend, and has had a great business now for 25 years, celebrating his 25th anniversary, and a booster at his beloved Fresno State for over 3 decades. Again, anything you need, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, a great assortment of hoses there, suction hoses, everything you need, the valves, everything in-house there at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can always give them a call for more information, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or superiorpipeusa.com on the web, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. And as we mention every day, if you have a valve going down, if you're someone from an industrial standpoint that works around a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're involved at all in a boiler service where you have got that type of necessity in front of you, if a valve goes down, your business can come crashing down in a big hurry. And one of the great aspects of Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, not only their very family-friendly, personalized service, but the same-day service, the same-day estimates. You call them up, you come in and see them, they'll look at your situation, analyze what they can do for you, and get things underway to help you avoid that catastrophic turn and having your business go down long term. So it's one of the reasons Joe's had great success. He also has shared that success with Fresno State now for 3 decades. And if you stop in and you have some time beyond addressing things for your business, he will tell you what he has done for Fresno State and will tell you right now the best avenue to benefit the university. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then under ways to give the individual sports clubs, so the money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me every week to talk basketball on the board of directors there. He has said they'd love more members, and he said call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com, for more information. Other links are there for other men's sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball, and other men's and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then finally, as we talked earlier, BulldogBread.com, the very important NIL endeavor at Fresno State. Again, everything in-house, but keep in mind, the NIL money's coming in separately than that $20.5 million that each school right now has as a ceiling, if you will. And, of course, most schools, including Fresno State, as much as they love to look at that as a detriment, they know they're not going to reach that ceiling. So you want to get as many donors as possible through NIL in every other way you can, whether you're giving directly to the student-athlete through the school or through NIL sponsorship. Again, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Marcus McMurrian took over. Chris started it at the station. So you had one former great Bulldog in Chris Pacheco handing off to a recent vintage former great Bulldog in Marcus McMurrian. Still great Bulldogs, period, but I'm talking about on the field, they're no longer eligible to play. If Chris has eligibility, I'd like to find out about that. I covered him in 1985, so I don't think he's still eligible. And Marcus, I covered him in 2018. I know he's not eligible, but they're both still very much involved in BulldogBread.com. Marcus right now wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, hit him up, BulldogBread.com. And he'll get back to you. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, everybody, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, the whole gang at Precision Civil Engineering, the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We thank them one and all. And also, before I bring Jackson Moore up, let me just say, as much as I like to kid Chris about 1985 playing at Fresno State, I was long gone from the university as a student by 1985, so maybe I better think twice before I give somebody a bad time about how long it's been since they were on campus as a student-athlete I'm talking about. All right, and now a guy who they revere as a student-athlete at Clovis East. That's right. Move Bryson DeChambeau out of the way. It's Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Just fine. Now, I know that if it's you and Bryson on campus at Clovis East, you get front of the line, right? They say, bring MrBarkboard.com in first, right?
I'd like to see that.
Well, it's kind of like the Derek Jeter commercial, right, with the bank guy. And you've got, you know, an astronaut, Derek Jeter, and all the kids want to do is ask the bank guy about stuff. Isn't that you? Aren't you the bank guy in that kind of situation?
I think my only clout around the football players there that are looking for their third star. Otherwise, Bryson's getting the attention.
There you go. You know where your leverage belongs. I really appreciate that. All right, Jackson, let's get started here with I've said this before, and people understand this. You're covering a lot of different schools, and I'm going to ask you about Stanford in just a minute because it's a very interesting turn they're taking in their athletic department. But at Fresno State, and it's been this way for a good long while, particularly because of the ease with which you can transmit information now, it's tough to get in there and see everything in practice. But for what you have been able to be allowed to see, who is jumping out? I know you had something about Josiah Freeman being big. Is he the big name so far you've seen as of late?
Yeah, I would say so. It's just been a constant stream of highlights, it feels like, every day. From the videos that Fresno State puts out of the closed portions where they're doing more 11-on-11, he's making big plays. I see him putting in work in the drills. I interview other players and coaches, and they point out even more highlights that haven't made it to social media. So, I mean, he's been the big talk right now, and that's big. You know, it's not a surprise because he's the top receiver in the room, of course, but it's necessary because the gap between one and everybody else seems to be fairly wide, and they need Freeman to have a good season. They need him to be healthy, and if they're going to run the ball as often and as effective as they hope to, they still need a big weapon downfield to throw to and keep defenses on their toes. So I mean, he is checking every box right now, and that's been exciting to see. I think looking around, Braden Walton's a guy that's had a big fall camp as a true freshman. He continues to get a lot of those first-team reps from what I've been able to see. Looking around as well on the defensive side, Ethan Tierney, the transfer from Northern Illinois, has gotten an extra opportunity that we expected at this point of camp, and he's been running with the ones quite a bit. And there's some guys that are popping out. Sonny Zepra on the defensive line is a guy that probably, I don't know if we've mentioned ever between our conversations, but right, even with guys like Corey Foreman and Tim Claypool on the defensive ends, I mean, he is getting a lot of attention right now as well. So That's interesting. There are quite a few players broke out in the spring. A guy like Roland Fullwood is still carrying that momentum. A guy like Jaleel McClain, a transfer from Louisville at the receiver position, not much buzz at all in the spring, but now he's getting some in the fall. So it's kind of been a shift as far as kind of the players that were the hot topic in the spring, and some of those names have traded places here in the fall.
You know, the situation with the wideouts, and I have brought this up to you when we first started talking about the approach that we're going to see. In Matt Ensign, we've seen the great success he's had at different levels with the MO of running the football. By the way, watching Trey Lance last night, I'm shaking my head in so many different directions. I'm glad we're talking just Fresno State right now, okay? Phil has a little bit of time today. I hope he talks about Trey Lance, because I'm wondering about draft choices and everything in that choice and watching him play pretty well. That having been said, Matt Ince knows how good Trey Lance was at one point, and I guess still is. But I had mentioned to you, Jackson, that sometimes you go in with an MO, and in this case, it's we want to run the football, shorten the game, and out-execute people late. We've seen it work before. But also, I had mentioned to you, if everybody else knows you're going to do that, then there becomes the fork in the road, which is, are you going to try to impose your will on other teams and say, you know what, come hell or high water, we're going to run it on you, and no matter what you do, load the box, whatever, we are still going to run it on you, not knowing whether your offensive line is going to be able to get it done to that extent where you can just absolutely say, you know it's coming, you can't stop it. I mean, you know, I grew up with USC, student body left, student body right. Our good friend Pat Howell, who was a great, great player, of course, in town at Fresno High. His son was a great player at Bullard, by the way. But Pat was one of the best linemen you're ever going to see. He went to SC and then to the Falcons, and he played at a time, Jackson, where with John McKay there, USC could tell you that they were going to go student body left or student body right, and you could load up all you wanted. You could bring 15 people out there, and they're still going to beat you, okay? Fresno State, I'd love to say, can do that. But knowing that you also want to take what the defense gives you, is there, as I asked you maybe a month ago, a possibility we could see this team throwing the ball a lot more simply because the defense is so aware of what Fresno State wants to do and they're going to overcommit to it? Or are you going to say, nope, they are going to run it and that's all there is to it?
Well, you said the magic words. Coach Davis said that exact phrase, that they want to take what the defense is giving them. And it's something we heard a bit in those Tim DeRuiter years as well. And there was a time where it was very efficient. It was a bit polar opposite offense. You had the ball spread out, you wanted to throw it around, but if defenses were so worried about getting beat downfield with the passing game, then Derek Carr would just throw a quick pass to Isaiah Burse and get 5 or 6 yards, and right. It was basically like a run. So yeah, now you look at the other side of the spectrum, where if you're going to be a pro-style offense and maybe the defense loads it up in the box and overloads it, then, well, now you're going to take what they give you. You're going to pass it. You're going to go for those one-on-one matchups with the receivers, and especially if that means Josiah Freeman's one-on-one matchup, they're just going to throw it to him and whatever range of catch radius he's got and hope for the best. So there's definitely a lot of that going on, where they want to have the identity and the ability to run the ball, but they're not just going to necessarily say, this is what we're doing no matter what, and try to stop us. It's going to be a little, I'd say, smarter in terms of reading what the defense is doing and trying to put the ball where it has the best probability of getting downfield.
Right. And by the way, let me make something clear before I get an email about it. I grew up watching John McKay and USC, all the way from Mike Garrett and all the guys, right, the great running backs, and O.J. before he was killing people, and, you don't need to comment on that. And all the great backs. Pat Howell and I are the same age, so I don't want to get the email that says I've tried to claim, again, incorrectly, that I grew up watching. That's not what I meant. I meant I grew up watching student body left, student body right. Pat left Fresno High the same time that I was leaving McLean, although I think at McLean they requested that I leave and not come back with Pat. I think they were honoring him. I'm not sure. I haven't been back on campus in 50 years, and I think that makes everybody very happy. That having been said, Jackson, one more time, I look at the Fresno State team and I say, you've got a coaching staff that is cohesive. You know, the Dallas Cowboys can tell you right now about distractions, right? With you've got a certain great player in Micah Parsons who wants a trade now. No drama at Fresno State. That's the good news. Everything appears to be moving along just fine. You talk about the position players, talk about the defense. We've touched upon it in a lot of things going on in a positive way offensively. And, Jackson, I still come right back around to the offensive line. It seems like every year we have this conversation. Skill position-wise, you mentioned to me the other day the great group of running backs you have. Their solid depth. You know how much I believe that Bryson Donaldson is going to be great. But a lot of guys there. Talking about the wideouts, we talked about the quarterbacks, and we'll see how it plays out. But, again, back to the O-line. As much as it's redundant, are we right back to this again? If this O-line can hold up, if it can, A, stay healthy, and B, have the depth, is that still what's going to determine whether this team wins big or not?
I believe so, because I think this defense should be pretty well-rounded and pretty well-coached. It's hard for me, you know, unless they totally whiff at a couple of spots, or say Jaden Pearson or Azalea Hamilton goes down. Other than that, it's hard to find a way that defense isn't going to be pretty strong. And if you pair that with a running game or with a good O-line, it's going to be tough to beat this Bulldog team. It's going to be a complimentary team, especially with Coach Baxter on the specialists. It all comes down to after that is this, you know, what happens to the quarterback, and you know, they may not have to throw the ball that much if all those other things come together. So it really is on the O-line, and I think on the interior, it's the math changes when you move Jacob Stromer from tackle to center, but it definitely looks pretty solid in the interior positions. There's at least three, maybe four guys battling for those two guard spots where I don't think it is necessarily about do you have two. It's more about just who's the best out of that group, and then I think you have extra depth after that. But you do look at the tackle positions, and if it is, say, Roland Fullwood, who's never started a game in 5 years, and Braden Walton, who's never been in a college game period, perhaps, as your tackle, and the depth doesn't look all that strong behind them, you know, the tackle positions could be a concern. But I mean, you look at how big those two guys are also, and you talk about running the ball a lot. Seems like they're both well-equipped to do it. 6'7 and 330 pounds, it looks like a perfect match for what Fresno State wants to do. But, if they get in a jam and they got to throw it around and they got to up the tempo, it might be tough for those guys to pass block at this level. We'll see on that, but I think that's just the concern. I think the interior is in good shape, and you know, that's a big part of the running game as well.
One other thing, and obviously it's to be continued naturally with 22 days to go before the kickoff of the season in Lawrence, Kansas. Bulldogs are a two-touchdown underdog there, and again, that's up to the odds makers to decide that. I've told you before, Jackson, unless they're going to do like bowling does, you know, in leagues and give somebody a handicap, then I don't care what the point spread is in regard to winning the game, right? I mean, that's all there is to it. If you want to talk with the betting public, that's fine. But as far as the relevance of the game itself, it doesn't make any difference as long as the scoreboard starts 0-0. That having been said, are you more or less confident in this team's ability to go into Lawrence, Kansas and win right now than you were, say, a month ago? Or are you right back where you were, to be determined?
Yeah, I'd say to be determined. I just don't think we have – I would say, you know, covering so many camps, this is my 16th fall camp at Fresno State, and covering other teams as well throughout that time. And I think line play is the toughest to evaluate, especially when there's a lot of question marks. And then if your identity is going to be winning in the trenches, it's really tough to make that assessment. And then against the team with Kansas, who we don't know a whole lot about yet as well. So tough to say, but I do think defensively, again, this team should be in pretty good shape. And offensively, there's definitely pieces, and we're seeing it come together. And I do think that it's going to become more clear here in about a week or two. The Bulldogs, Coach Entz and Coach Davis have both expressed they want to name a starting quarterback around practice 15 and settle in and give it a week or two. And it sounds like they're not going to try to keep that under wraps or hide that from the Jayhawks. So I think it's a bit of a fresh breath of fresh air for the offense to take and get a couple weeks gelling rather than having a competition all the way until August 21st or 22nd, which seems to be the norm for most teams these days. So I think the offense is getting there. And again, at the end of the day, we just won't know how this O-line and in some cases the D-line, just how it stacks up against a Big 12 team like Kansas on week zero until it actually plays out.
How much different do you view the Bulldog chance to win as compared to Purdue a couple of years ago? Because you had, again, you're going on the road in that game, an early start, tough environment, but there were a lot of coaching changes on that Purdue team. This a lesser chance, in your opinion, going in than what we saw at Purdue?
I think this Kansas team is better. We saw they had, it's not necessarily a winning season last year, but they went on quite a run, beating several ranked teams last year. There's some carryover. The coaching staff has done, relative to that program, a very good job over there over the last couple of years. So opening up that stadium in week zero with the remodeling, and that should be a pretty amped-up crowd. But there's some parallels there, but I think Kansas right now in the Big 12 is a little bit tougher of an opponent than Purdue was, and I also think the Bulldogs are going to have a style of play that can neutralize some of that. You know, if Mikey Keene doesn't make a couple of those throws in that game at Purdue, it gets away from the Ducks pretty quick, right. Whereas Fresno State's going to be playing a style where they, you know, are not going to be trying to make scores in such a quick fashion as they did at the end of that game and not try to fall into a hole like that team did either in 23.
Well, and after the kick return and Bulldogs were down more than a score, you would have thought that their goose was cooked, but they came back to win anyway. And what you're bringing up, Jackson, is true, and it's what we've talked about. As much as we talk about the SEC and the Big Ten being on that ship that's going to sail away financially, and I'm sure that is the case when we get to the end of these contracts as we start the 2030s, the reality is when you get beyond the upper echelon in every conference, it's just a title, meaning, okay, Purdue, Big Ten, but like you're saying, a Big 12 school, Kansas, is probably better because you're not talking about the absolute upper echelon of a given conference. It's why it's going to be so interesting to see where the pack, whatever it's going to be ultimately, happens to sit, because as you and I have talked, Jackson, the great strength of the Big 12 is also its great weakness. The Big 12 is very well balanced, and there probably isn't a team that's looking to leave for another conference that has a legitimate chance to get to another conference, so they are what they are. It also means they're not particularly of any greater marquee value in the next contract going in. As we've talked, the current state of affairs in the PAC is going to be about the same, which is a solid conference, no days off, but no school that's probably looking for an Oregon, Washington, SC, UCLA move, what have you. However, on a week-to-week basis, Jackson, the challenge is going to be there, whether it's non-conference or conference, right? There does not appear after this year, I'm talking about, that you're going to have a week off for Fresno State the way in the past, even though it didn't always work out that way, that you would perceive it going into play somebody, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, if you had a Pac-12 preseason poll with the current allotment, I mean, it might be probably San Diego State and Utah State bringing up the rear, which is just a little bit different than
right.
Nevada and New Mexico, the way that the Lobos and the Wolfpack have struggled the last couple of years. And you know, generally, it feels like the Mountain West has had two or three of those types of teams kind of year in and year out, especially when you went back to divisions where it was really top-heavy with Fresno State and San Diego State for quite some time. So you get rid of divisions and you get a lot of like-minded teams, it just really becomes a grind week in and week out. And I think this season's also going to have a lot of that with the Mountain West. I think there is a lot of parity. I think even those bottom teams are not as strong or not as weak as they've been, and the top portion of the conference probably not quite as strong as it's been. So it gives everyone a better chance to win the championship. That also makes just winning on a given Saturday a tougher challenge maybe than it would be in given years when you had a couple of games you could count on. So I think as far as Kansas and kind of the difference in conferences, I got the privilege of sitting around with Ron Rivera yesterday at Cal, and they're talking about a budget of about $14 million for their football team within that $20 million cap with the revenue sharing. So you always looked at some of those power conference schools that maybe weren't taking advantage of their status or just were not as successful on the football field for whatever reason, and now you stack that up with the type of money they have to toss around compared to the Fresno States of the world. It makes the margin for error even slimmer, but that certainly doesn't mean the Bulldogs can't go out there and make some noise in week zero, especially week zero, when really you don't know what to expect from either team.
I think we're going to see a very similar year to last year, and that so many games are going to come down to a play or two late, and hopefully this year you make them and it turns into a double-digit win season. We'll see. By the way, Ron Rivera, when he's with the Bears, he came in, Vesty Jackson, who was an outstanding defensive back, and of course from McLean High School and went up and played at Washington. And then with the Bears, he brought the Bears players in to play the 49ers in a basketball game, and 10,000 people showed up at Celland Arena because the Bullard Band went out and sold tickets. But Ron Rivera was on the bench, and Ron was 29 years old, Jackson. And everybody on both teams referring to him as, "Hey, old man," all right, which seemed funny to me at the time because I was 30, okay? Now it doesn't seem funny to me at all. So do you refer to Ron as, "Hey, old man," as 70 is creeping up on him in a big hurry? I'm just wondering. Nice guy, but still a very big man. So did he give a bad time about his age? I'm just wondering.
I sure did not. No.
Good thinking. All right. Glad to hear it. All right, real quickly here, quarterbacking-wise, because I want to ask you about Stanford. The stadium stuff's going to have to wait till next week. And to Rob, about the PAC, the opportunity to sue to be a PAC 5 again, we'll get to that next week. But the time we have right now, Jackson, first of all, I know it's subject to change, but if we were starting tomorrow, if tomorrow were the kickoff instead of 3 weeks from tomorrow, your perception that Warner would be the starting QB, is that your feeling right now?
It's the assumption. With limited access to what's going on the 11-on-11, it's
right.
Tough to say for sure. We know that. I mean, just seeing those Freeman highlights, he's throwing a lot of them, so there's definitely that to it. Also heard he's thrown an interception or two, which I'm sure they all have, but sounds like some days when he might not be on as much, Jaden Mandel will have a good day, and I've seen Carson Conklin as well. Just kind of looking at his mechanics, it feels like the ball just comes out a little bit different than some of the other guys in the room, a little more effortlessly. So if he does catch up with the offense here in these couple of weeks, certainly gives him a shot too. So it's definitely up for grabs, but until we hear otherwise, it looks sure seem like Warner's in the front runner for it.
Well, again, 3 weeks from tomorrow, and of course you also have the dinner coming up, and I'll talk to Paul about that again on Monday. Hope people are able to get there for that as well. A really important year for Fresno State for a variety of reasons that we've talked about before. Now, Jackson, remaining 5 minutes again. Time goes too quickly, my friend. Always appreciate the time you make for us on the air. But Stanford going now for a new athletic director in Donahoe, who is fundamentally a businessman first. It doesn't mean that he is devoid of athletic experience, and he's been very close to Stanford over the years and has an MBA from Stanford and is a very, very successful and smart guy and has Tara Vanderveer's seal of approval, which is very important at Stanford. Even though she's retired, she still has tremendous clout around the administrative area. Is this the new MO of what we're going to see business first and sport running alongside in the athletic department instead of the other way around?
Well, part of it, you look at Stanford and Andrew Luck, the GM of the football program. And then,
that's correct.
What is there left for the athletic director to do? Luck basically has the keys to run it.
Hold on a second. Jackson, you were breaking up. I think you're okay now. But to reset this, you were mentioning that you have Luck there to run the athletic department, and you've got that as far as the on the field, and you've got an overseer. So you're saying that, in point of fact, that overseer had better be a businessman. Otherwise, it's redundant. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so. You're given the keys to the sports part of the job to sports-specific people, and then you're switching
right.
The athletic director part just mostly to the business. And I think right now is such a critical time because a lot of athletic directors are going to be looking at their budget, and you know, you're talking about millions of dollars that need to move from one place to another to account for revenue sharing. And there's really, I think, you're going to be seeing restructurings of programs to decide what's valuable and what's important. You know, is this job or this facility, or you know, is that as worth as much as paying the player that would be on that team and in that facility? So there's going to be a lot of tough questions to ask, and I think teams are already trying to restructure where the dollars are exactly going right now. And you put in a new face with a business background, he can kind of set the tone and do what he wants. I know Class C as well has changed quite a bit over the last year, so that's kind of the way it feels like it's going right now.
Well, Donahoe's a guy, if people aren't familiar, former Nike CEO, and we've talked about this many times before, that there are two schools that Phil Knight always has given to big time, his two alma maters, University of Oregon, of course, as an undergraduate, Stanford as a graduate student, and you have John Donahoe, who has this tremendous experience as the former CEO of Nike. He also has been around eBay, Bain & Company. He was on the board, or also, I think he's still on the board of PayPal. So does that tell you, Jackson, when they talk about being a unicorn candidate, meaning his business ties and his history at the school, does it tell you that his job is to go there and go get the money that is circling around Stanford? Because, you look, Fertig and I were just talking yesterday, and it's something you and I will talk about next week. If you're going to go get a new stadium, you are going to have substantial support. You're going to have to find a way to fund from scratch. The good news is you wouldn't have to then worry about where you're going to play if you're building somewhere else off-site from where you're at right now, meaning cross at SMC or whatever, and so you wouldn't have to worry in the years that you're building it. We also said if you decided to stay the course where you're at now, now is it more important to have more seating or more important to go after the moneyed aristocracy? And as Jack mentioned, we're not sure where that money aristocracy is right now. Here at Stanford, is it without question, since you two cover that board, that the money is out there? It's just a matter of going to find it. And when we say every time Stanford needs money, they just hold a golf tournament, that is an incorrect statement in this day and age, that as much as it used to be accurate before, is it harder to find it right now? And is that why a guy like Donahoe is coming in my perception, to be a financial rainmaker, and like you said, not to run the athletic department on the field, but to make sure that bottom line is met, particularly when you and I both know the ACC money is not the Big Ten money that Cal and Stanford would love to see, that SC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington are seeing. Is that the bottom line?
Yeah, I do think there's quite a bit of money out there, but I don't necessarily think that's the place where you're talking about the history and especially the academic side over there. It wasn't a flip switch like at an Alabama or an LSU where it's like, okay, it's time to fork over the money and pay the players.
Right.
I think there was a little resistance, and it took them a lot longer than some of those schools to get all that in movement, and probably even still is a little bit of a challenge. So certainly makes it a lot easier if you've got big businesses with deep pockets to take care of some of that for you and maybe be that extra on top of it as well. As we know, there's that $20.5 million, but there's still going to be more in play for some of these schools and keeping high-profile student-athletes, and that could be a difference there.
You and I will pick up this conversation next week because we're out of time. I'll leave you with this, my friend. I think what happened is that when Kennedy left the softball program for $1 million, I think Stanford's powers that be said, wait a minute, Olympic sports, that's where we make our reputation, and it is true. And if we can only offer $600,000 and we're outbid by Texas Tech, there's something wrong. We have hit poverty if we can only offer $600,000. That's what I think happened. And I'd like you to share that with people in the next press conference. I don't need attribution. You can go ahead and take credit for that yourself. You ready for that? Now you're really breaking up. Yeah,
well, I can
okay.
tell you.
Yeah, say again.
I can tell you right outside the stadium, there's a huge billboard about their 49 years in a row with the national championship. So they're going to spend whatever it costs to get number 50 this year.
That's right. And as I used to tell you, every time your cell breaks up, what did I tell you about being in Dinuba? Remember that? Start walking south, remember? That's what I would tell you. All right. Special on the board. Where are we at the board here before you and I reconvene on Tuesday?
Yeah, we're celebrating fall camp with 50% off. It looks like the network's also going to keep up $1 for a month to try that out also if you want to just check it out and see what it's all about. So head over to barkboard.com, and I hope people take advantage of it.
Well, I hope people do just that. As I've said this before, Jackson, if you're going to put a Mount Rushmore of the Dinuba greats, Edina has to be there. Then you've got Marcus McMarion. You've got Rob Adolph. And we've got you. That's right. You are now on the Mount Rushmore in Dinuba. So congratulations. I'll talk to you next week, my friend. Take care. I'll see you.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Our good friend Jackson Moore. Well, that's a generic South Valley reference, okay? That's all I'm telling you. Jackson was writing for the paper there, and Ed has been an auto dealer in the South Valley, throughout the South Valley for a good long time, and a tremendous person and a great Raider fan, by the way, as well. All right, take a break, come back, wrap it up, hand it off to Phil. And then the red hot, you can't stop them, you just out of their way. San Francisco Giants are coming up. We'll take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:52, two or 3 minutes ago in the show. Handed off to Phil's outstanding show behind the bench up until 3:40 today, and then the Giants will come up. I'll tell you about the schedule in just a moment for both stations for 1430 and 790. But first, if you're headed home right now, close to 3 o'clock on a Friday or a little bit later on, mind you again about the great deals at the local KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Really appreciate them jumping aboard, be part of the solution financially at Fresno State. And right now, while they promote F1, the movie, the terrific endeavor that took 3 years for Brad Pitt and company to put together, you have some specials going on. The long-running Tuesday special, which has been there for a good long while, which is the 10-piece bucket, $10 bucket, 8 pieces. You're talking about dark meat, talking about either original or extra crispy, or the tenders. Again, 8 pieces for just $10 on Tuesdays. Also, you have the Country Fried Steak deals on Wednesday at $5.99. And right now, the special that's front and center for a limited time, the Phillips are back, very popular in the past, only $7. You choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with a drink, with sides, and even sweet pie poppers. And you can top it all off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And if you do stop by to pick up a bucket or two, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective helping out at Fresno State, being part of the solution for the financial necessities that are there in this day and age in collegiate sport. As far as the schedule goes, it's brought to you by our good buddy Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, everything is there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Again, when we get to the football season, which now is only 3 weeks and a day away, it will be time for year number five of engineering yardage. That's the great fundraiser that Precision Civil Engineering has for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. Ed, a proud graduate, a lot of the people that work at Precision, proud graduates of the Lyles College of Engineering. And engineering yardage, the last 4 years, for every yard gained through the air by the football team, Ed and his company have been able to give to Fresno State. So in the off season, after everything is totaled up during the basketball season, Ed and everybody beyond halftime, and they'll tell you all about what they're able to do for the football team. We look forward to year number five, the goal of engineering yardage to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources for students. It's worked beautifully for 4 years. We look forward to year number five as we kick it off on the 23rd of August. Like I said, just 3 weeks and a day away in Lawrence, Kansas, on Big Fox, by the way, on Channel 26. Far as the lineup goes, normally, Phil with you 3 to 6 Monday through Friday. Of course, changed a little bit today because of the Giants. On Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedeke. And again, best furniture on the planet. The great conversation of Phil's show and some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at ATT.net. TDAD, the number one, at ATT.net. Phil has the Lee's Air hotline. You can reach him, 559-320-1430. Anybody from the general public can jump aboard there. Also the guests, of course, where he, like myself, on that Lee's Air hotline. Paul Meadows will be back with his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, a week from tomorrow on August 9th, all about sports throughout the Valley with football getting started at all levels. Paul will be back at First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon on 1430 each Saturday. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. The live links and podcasts are there. Again, BulldogBread.com, very important. The monies that belong to Fresno State through that particular avenue designed for NIL, and it's really important. Marcus Marion wants to hear from you. Everything you got for him, BulldogBread.com. Bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. He definitely wants to hear from you as we get ready for the season to start. Final reminders as far as the upcoming schedule. We have the NFL season starting yesterday. We've got the Rams, Raiders, and 49ers coming up during the preseason, and, of course, the regular season, and then everything through Westwood One all the way through the Super Bowl. For us, the Giants and A's still hanging in there. Okay, the A's made a deal for the long term, of course, by getting, an outstanding reliever in Miller, who, by the way, now is, because they kept Suarez, the Padres did, and evidently going to keep Cease as well, Padres are going to do what we saw the Yankees do in their last great run earlier in the 2000s and what the Royals did as recently as 2015, which turned it into a six-inning game. They're basically saying, with the relievers we have, if you don't get us in the first six innings, we're going to run these three at you, one inning each, 7, 8, and 9. So good luck if you're behind the Padres after six innings. I don't know that the Dodgers are sweating it, but it is going to make it interesting. For the Giants and the A's looking forward with, you know, again, another great prospect, the third best in DeVries. We'll see how that plays out. The Giants moving relievers now, so they have put the white flag up trying to look at prospects. Giants in New York tonight. They'll go New York, Pittsburgh, the same teams that beat them six times in a row this last week. Giants 340 with a 410 on 1430. The A's host Arizona tonight, 630 with a 705 on 790. We will see you guys on Monday. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks, as always, to Jackson. And thanks, of course, to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, everybody Precision Civil Engineering, and, of course, when we talk about the local operators at KFC, thanks go out to Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman operators. We'll see you guys next week. Phil is coming up, then the Giants on KFIG Fresno.